World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. May have to lean on you a little bit this morning. Weirdest thing, I got up this morning, my computer didn't have any sounds. You say, well, Coach, what does that matter? What matters because I try to prepare a show. And so it's the videos themselves, I'm looking at trying to put together a good anointed show here. I couldn't hear anything. My computer would, picture would play, but wouldn't be any sound. So maybe that was the Lord trying to tell me to shut up a little bit and give you guys a chance to say what's on your mind. Because, well, I know yesterday it was pretty much just me ranting for about 40 minutes. And this is interactive. And I always say, I don't always say it. I notice, you guys, we have patterns when we speak, don't we? Chad's really good at that. Chad's really good at mocking people because we have patterns when we speak. Phrases that we use, and we just fallback phrases. And really, when you use a fallback phrase, it's often it gives you time to think. That's why you use that phrase, because you're talking and you don't want to sound like you're not saying anything because you sound stupid. So you use one of these fallback phrases. And when I listen to myself, I say, "Dad, go on, Coach, quit doing that, quit saying that." So I apologize to you out there, but the old mind never quits, I want to try to get some of you in here today, but I got some stuff I got to look. You know, you guys, if you come here often enough, you know that I don't stay on a topic very long. We moved to different things because a lot of you are in different places, and I don't want to make it about this thing or that thing or that thing. But I really feel a little bit of a need to follow up on something we spoke about yesterday. And man. Lord, just anoint me, Lord Jesus. Just let the words of my lips and meditation in my heart, let it be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says the heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. Deceitful, not just wicked, deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Who can know the heart of another man? You know, I read yesterday I don't even want to go there because that dude's probably out there. You can't judge another man's heart. I said to Michelle last night, we went up to the church in the garage up with Jeff Klein and his crew up there, and Pastor Bill presented a really, really good message last night. And Michelle and I had some time to spend together in the car for about an hour and a half together in the car, 45 up and 45 back. And I said to her, honey, do I come across as arrogant? Because I sure don't mean to be. I can't tell you. I come across as brash, maybe as confident, arrogant. In fact, how often during the show, when the show comes on, do I be honest and say to you, I don't really know. Here's what I think. You're able to see an arrogant guy says my way or the highway. I don't think I do that. I don't think I do. And can I tell you what I think it is? I think it's because, hate to keep coming back to it, you're not allowed to be a man anymore. You're not allowed to be a man. And whether we will admit it or not, we got a lot of men who have the emotions of women. We'll say that again. We have men who respond with the same emotions as women. Somebody give me a thumbs up. That's we're dealing with that a lot of ways. And so therefore, when a guy comes along who's brash and confident, strong, they say, well, he's arrogant. You can't tell him anything. Oh, he's full of pride. On and on and on and on and on. And I just want to know that I don't care who you are. Criticism hurts. I mean, you can act like you have a tough skin, but it hurts. And it hurts that, dudes, if I'm coming across as arrogant, that's not my intention. You know that you don't have to follow me. You don't have to listen to me. Your 2 cents is worth 2 cents here. But I think, weak men fight verbally. Weak men hide behind emails, right? If I got a problem with Paul Goslin, I'm calling Paul Goslin and emailing him. I got a problem with Jared, I call Jared. I don't email him. Well, sometimes I email him if it's something, right? Yeah, truth sounds like hate, Janine. You're right. Truth sounds like hate. And so I'm heading somewhere this morning because I said I didn't really want to go back over what we did yesterday, but I think it's imperative that I do that, that I do it. I want to encourage you right off the bat. Number one, pull up the story of Gideon, if you could. I had Spencer get this ready for us. I'm not going to talk about Gideon's. You guys have all heard the story of Gideon. I hope you've heard the story of Gideon. Starts out with 300 men, a whittled down. Lord says to him, you got too many. Gideon says, how are we going to win this battle? We got 3,000 men. Is that what it is? 3,000 men. And they return. And the Lord said to him, hey, sorry, bud, you got too many guys. And Gideon's looking out the army. He said, are you kidding? You got too many. I need twice as many, Lord. He said, no. And I said, you got too many, Gideon. So he says, anybody wants to go home? Go on home. If you're afraid, go on home. And 2,700 left. I get my numbers right here. I'm doing it off the top of my head. He comes back a second time, says, okay, Lord. Oh, yeah, then 22,000. And there returned to the people. 22,000 people left and 10,000 remained. And Gideon cleaned house and said, oh, great idea, Lord. Now what are we going to do? And the Lord said to him, well, I tell you this, dude, you still got too many. You still got too many, Gideon. Look, I love you, Gideon. I love you, man. And I know you're a warrior, and I know you're going to go to war with me, but I'm going to tell you something. Some of those guys on your team, they ain't worth a hoot in hell. And no matter what your eyes see, you gotta prune the troops, baby. You gotta get rid of more of them. He said, I want you to take them down by the water. This is verse 7. So he brought the people down the water, and the Lord said to him, hey, Gideon, look, tell your men to get a drink. And here's what I want you to do, Gideon. Sit back there with your notepad or your I don't think you had notepads in today. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to write down the name of every one of those guys who laps. He said, a lot of them are going to go lap the water like dogs. In other words, they're going to go down, get something to drink, and they're going to put their head down, and they're going to lap the water like that. He said, getting every one of those 10,000 guys that lap the water like a dog, get rid of them, man. Get rid of them. And he said, the ones that cup the water, and keep their eyes up and look at their enemy as they're drinking. He said, those are the guys you want to get in. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to the mouth, were 300 men. That's what Gideon's mighty men, 300 men, that's where they came from. They went from 30,000. In other words, if you do the math, it's a little bit over 90% of the people, they really aren't in. They're really not in. And the Lord is doing something in our midst. If we will allow him to do it, the Lord is bringing all of this calamity, all this stuff that's going on around us, everything that you see, the Lord is permitting it to happen because he is separating the sheep from the goats. He's doing it.
Man.
He's doing it. And the tougher Amen. Things become, the greater that separation is going to be. The tougher
Boom.
Becomes, we're going to begin to see some people fall off. They'll find all kinds of excuses and all kinds of reasons why they can't get involved. But what we have to understand, the Lord said in the beginning, by the 300 men that lapped, I'm going to save you. And I'm going to deliver America into your hands. See, I get people, folks, I say America, not because I idolize America, but because that's where we are. And we were the shining city set on a hill. It's not that I make America an idol. So if you watch this at all, you know that I talk about we're building a kingdom, a never-ending kingdom, an expansive kingdom, not just America, but countries all across the world. The kingdom of God is going to reign. So those of you out there who continually send me those freaking emails talking about my idolization of America, America's going down. Maybe it is, but America is the world's last great hope. America is. Okay? And so the Lord is winnowing the herd here. It came to pass on the same night that the Lord said to get up off your butt, will you? Verse 9. By the way, I didn't know I was going to preach this. Verse 9, Spence, scroll up, please. He said, go get them, man. I have delivered them into your hand. He said, get up. Battle's been won. Go get them. But if you fear to go down. And so you know the end of the story, right? Gideon, 300 men show up at the battle, and they're way outnumbered. And what did they do? Does anybody know what they did? They got these pots that were lanterns. And they started out this war whoop. And they started screaming and hollering this war whoop, and they broke the bottles. And Gideon's army, the focused, unashamed, bold men of God who would fight without taking their eyes off of the enemy, although greatly outnumbered, did two things. They shone the light, and they made noise. And when they shone the light and they made the noise, confusion came into the enemy's camp. Confusion did. And they slew each other. I'm not going to take time to read the story. That's what happened. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah, to Zeruiah, and to the border of, they need to rename those places. Right? I want you to see something today. It's cracking their armor, folks. It's cracking their armor. I want you to know this as well. The Lord will use whoever he will use. He will use whoever he will use. And he will use a man that we don't always. I've been saying for I don't know how many years, since Donald Trump became president of the United States, that Donald Trump was God's man. Not that Donald Trump was a man of God. Those are not the same. Donald Trump was God's man. Not a man of God. They're not the same. Can I tell you why? I see a lot of men of God who won't pick up a sword, won't do anything, right? And the Lord said, okay, well, I'm going to have to get this rugged guy over here. And I'm going to shake up this system like they ain't never seen. I'm reading my notes over here. I want to make sure I get this right. The wrong people are in jail, folks.
Amen.
The wrong people in America are in jail. We'll say it again. The wrong people are in jail. But I want you to know this. The tide is turned. The tide is turning. Say what you want to about Tucker Carlson. I still don't have Tucker figured out. Tucker comes out of a deep state background, okay? Don't be fooled by Tucker. But truth is truth. God will use whatever he will, however he will. And it isn't amazing that the same thing we saw happen with Gideon is happening right before our very eyes again, that they are turning on themselves. You get it? If you read Gideon's army didn't slay the people. They slew each other. They slew each other. Pastor Bill said last night, strategies win wars. Not weapons, not force, not might. Strategies win wars. I won a lot of football games. I think I told you once. I only think maybe one football game. I'm not lying to you. Maybe one, maybe two football games in my entire coaching career that we lost that we should have won. I mean, when I look back, I said, that one we should have won. You always think you should have won when the game is over. But I always gave our team the strategy to win and tried to execute the strategy. And we don't have a strategy. We really don't have a strategy. And our strategy is Republican and Democrat. But for whatever reason, And I don't know if I can explain. I don't know why. They're turning on each other, friends. There's no honor among thieves. You remember that, don't you? You heard that before? No honor among thieves. Everybody's out to cover their own butt. Everybody's out to get whatever they can get out of it. Something's going on. We are on the verge of a cataclysmic explosion. Can you give me about 15 minutes without? I don't want anybody. Don't break this flow. Okay, give me 15 minutes. Let me finish this because I'm gonna show it to you. What I believe the Lord is what the Lord has shown me. Pull up for me. make sure you got the right thing. Oh, I got three things. Pull up the Federal Criminal Law Center. Pull that first thing up, Spencer. We're going to win. We're so winning. I'm sorry to disappoint the dispensationalists, but we are so winning. I'm sorry, those of you who've invested your entire life in defeat. We are so winning. We're so winning. But see, the problem is, as I started out saying at the beginning, the wrong people are in jail. The wrong people are in jail. So all the videos, I'm going to show you a couple of videos here. Maybe I'll get around to it. And the question we're going to have to ask ourselves is, what do you do when there is no justice? What do we do when there is no justice? That's right, Janine. The king of the north and the king of the south, they're in confusion. They are fighting among themselves. If we, it's Gideon's army being replayed. If you, okay, so I spoke to Pastor Bill last night. He got arrested. Tucker Carlson came out. Bear with me here a second. Go to Charles Schumer. Pull that up for me, Spencer. I'll come back to this. Remember, we've talked about this being a uniparty. And whether you like Trump or didn't like Trump, whether Trump was deep state or wasn't, I don't care about any of that. I don't care about any of that, okay? There's no honor among thieves. If these guys are ungodly men, they have no loyalty to anybody but themselves. Somebody say amen. Because if you don't understand that, if you don't understand that their loyalty lies to them, you're not going to understand the game that's being played in front of them, okay? So here's Chuck Schumer. This guy ought to be thrown in jail today. Today he ought to be thrown in jail. How dare an elected U.S. senator stand in the pulpit and call for censorship of an American media? How dare he do that? But see, here's what you got to understand. They're doing it, though. See, they are censoring people. They are censoring people. And somehow Tucker has gone off the reservation. Hey, I trust him as far as I can throw him. I don't know what's going on. I want you to listen to this snake. This guy ought to be in jail. This guy ought to be in jail. Scroll down a little bit, Spencer. And I don't know if you can put this at 1.5 speed. I don't know if you guys have heard. Stay with me. This is important. I'm putting it all together, okay? Scroll down. You'll see this picture. Okay, there you are. I'm sorry. This is the only place I could find it. I didn't look real hard. I'll go ahead and play. Listen what this demonic a-hole. Can I say that word? Am I allowed to say that word? What this demonic a-hole says. As real video of what happened is played. Go ahead.
Last night, millions of Americans tuned in to one of the most shameful hours we have ever seen on cable television. With contempt for the facts, disregard of the risks, and knowing full well he was lying to his audience, Fox News host Tucker Carlson ran a lengthy segment last night arguing the January 6th Capitol attack was not a violent insurrection. By diving deep into the waters of conspiracy and cherry-picking from thousands of hours of security footage, Mr. Carlson told the bold-faced lie that the Capitol attack, which we all saw with our own eyes, was somehow...
Hang on! No, we didn't see it with our own eyes!
No, we didn't see it with our own eyes. We saw it through their eyes and the lens they wanted to show. See, these folks are so devious liars. I can't even, I'm going to give you a few more minutes. I can't even, huh? This guy wants us to believe Rachel Maddow's telling us the truth. And Joe, go ahead.
He tried to argue it was nothing more than a peaceful sightseeing tour. Can you imagine? A nonviolent demonstration, a perfectly fine and appropriate instance of people expressing their opinion.
I was there.
So many others who were here in the Capitol, and millions of Americans are just furious with Tucker Carlson and Kevin McCarthy today. Many of my staff were here at the Capitol on January 6th. Their lives were
okay, get him off that. Okay, folks, look, let me tell you something. You either have spirit eyes or you don't have spirit eyes. Okay, look. The rats are running off the boat. The rats are running off the boat. Hang on. Pull up his twin brother, Mitch McConnell. Pull him up there. Mitch McConnell.
He cherry picked, Coach. They cherry picked.
Of course they did. They always accuse you of what. When I was listening to Pastor Bill last night, I wanted to stand up and I wanted to say this, and I didn't. Folks, the devil has three weapons, and he uses the same one over and over and over and over.
Amen.
He lies. He deceives, and he casts fear. That's all, that he ain't got any other weapons. Lies, deceives, and casts fear. That's all I can do.
Amen.
So they bring this guy out here. This guy is, look, hey folks, he's the leader of our team. He's Mitch McConnell, Senate Republican majority leader, majority leader. This guy and Chuck Schumer are reading the same story. Go ahead.
Over how Chansley
now
got
go on
into
down,
the...
Go on down, now get, no, no, go on down. Go on, so there, listen to this snake.
Was it a mistake by Speaker McCarthy to give access to cuts and
calls? Hang on. Was it a mistake to let people see the evidence of what really happened? That's what they asked McConnell. Go ahead.
My concern is how it was depicted, which is a different issue. Clearly, the chief of the Capitol Police, in my view, correctly describes what most of us witnessed firsthand on January
5th. No, we didn't witness it firsthand!
So that's my reaction.
No, we didn't!
It was a mistake, in my view, for Fox News to depict this in a way that's completely at variance with what our chief law enforcement official here at the Capitol thinks.
Okay, stop. Somebody help me out here. Tucker Carlson, I don't care. Hey, I don't care whose team he's on. Tucker Carlson produces actual video, and both Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer are against it. Do you need to know anything else? Is there anything else that you need to know other than that right there?
Nope.
You would think Mitch McConnell would be cheering, wouldn't you? Oh, we've been vindicated. MAG has been vindicated, you would think, right? Except he's not MAGA. He's not MAGA. Why? Because they're, okay, so here's what I want to show you. Pull that up, the federal crime. Hey, folks, these people should be in jail. They should be in jail. What is exculpatory evidence? And why does it matter to your post-conviction appeal? So here we go. The court, let me paint a picture for you. Because again, I was talking to Pastor Bill last night, and I'm not going to give out any secrets. Those videos we just watched, the government by law was required to make sure that every one of those J6 people had that as evidence in the trial. They, by law, you got, anybody picking up what I'm saying here? Huh? Okay, say
you amen. Don't get
it. Okay, it's up on the screen. What is exculpatory evidence and why does it matter? It's written in 2021. In criminal law, can you make that a little bit better, Spence? A little bigger for me? Getting old. There you go, that's good.
In criminal law, exculpatory evidence is some fact, testimony, or document. If used at a criminal trial, might help prove that the accused was not guilty of the charges. Hey, folks, they were required at court to show that video that Tucker Sharl showed. Exculpatory evidence includes anything that might directly show the innocence of the accused, or that might show an excuse, justification, or defense to the charges. Further, exculpatory evidence can apply to issues related to punishment and sentencing. Often sentencing will depend on various facts going to mitigation or aggravation. So exculpatory evidence might be relevant to an argument related to mitigation or aggravation. Exculpatory evidence need not go to every element of the charged crime, but can go to one element only. As used in criminal law, exculpatory evidence relates to evidence held and possessed by the government, like the police or the government prosecutors. Hey, Vinny, everybody join Vinny. Vinny, can you say boom? Oh my
boom.
Goodness.
Boom.
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 An example, as an example, assume that a person is charged, accused of rape on a certain date at a certain location. Consent to sexual activity is an absolute legal defense to a charge of rape. So let's assume that the government has certain evidence, like an eyewitness statement, that shows that the accused was at some other location, a different city, for example, when the rape occurred. Such would be an example of exculpatory evidence and would demonstrate that the accused was not guilty. Alternatively, let's assume that the government obtained a witness statement from the victim, where the victim stated repeatedly that sexual activity was consensual. Again, such would be an example of exculpatory evidence and would demonstrate that they had accused, that the accused had a legal valid defense to the charge. Go down the Brady rule. I'm sorry if this is boring you. You got to get this stuff. Under what is called the Brady rule, government prosecutors. Can anybody read that next word for me? Can anybody read that capital lettered word? Anybody read that? Somebody? I'm waiting. Can anybody read that?
Must.
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 Must. Under what is called the Brady rule, government prosecutors, that would be Garland, must turn over any exculpatory evidence to the criminal defense team. Must. They've been hiding the video, folks. Both sides. The rule is named after the U.S. Supreme Court, Brady, yada, yada. In that case, the court affirmed that if the government prosecution fails to tender to the criminal defense team evidence that is favorable to an accused that might be exculpatory, then such failure violates due rights process of the accused. The court also held that the government's good faith or bad faith was not relevant to whether due process rights were violated. Those videos that Tucker Carlson played by law should have already been made public. Are you with me? If the government fails to turn over exculpatory evidence, then a convicted person has a good grounds for a post-conviction appeal. That being said, there's some rules that must be followed for failure to tender exculpatory evidence to be grounds for appeal. First, the criminal defense team must request any and all exculpatory evidence. Have they? Have the public defenders defending the J6ers, have they demanded that they see the videos?
Nope.
Second, the government must actually fail to turn over the evidence. Chuck Schumer's telling them not to turn it over. Mitch McConnell's telling them the same thing. You ain't hearing this anywhere, are you? Huh? No, you're not hearing this anywhere. Finally, the exculpatory evidence must be important. In legal terms, the evidence must be material, which means that very likely the evidence would have changed the outcome of the case. Boom. Every one of those guys ought to be in jail. Merrick Garland ought to be in jail. Every one of those judges, every one of those prosecutors who are prosecuting the J6ers. They should be in jail. They've had this evidence for 2 years, right? And what's Chuck Schumer pissed about? What's Mitch McConnell pissed about? Those videos destroy their narrative.
Amen.
And I heard Mitch McConnell, I'm not gonna, you can go watch the whole thing you want to. I heard Mitch McConnell talk about 5 police officers that were killed. Folks, where the hell's that guy live? 5 police officers killed. How many police officers were killed? None. How can they do this and get away with it? I'm about ready to shift here. I got so much to talk about. Pull up, judges are scared. Hey, folks, the Lord loves justice and judgment. Why judges don't do the right thing. As Arizona, this is written by Rachel Alexander, don't know anything about her. As Arizona experienced a repeat of the 2022 election, yada, candidates' lawsuits are particularly going nowhere as judges throw them out for lack of evidence or narrow technical reasons, such as lack of standing. You see, the judges pretend that witness testimony and affidavits don't constitute evidence. But every first-year law school student learns that of the 11 sections of traditional rules of evidence and law, entire section 6 is devoted to witness testimony. Witness testimony throughout history has been the smoking gun in many cases. Defendants have suffered the death penalty based on eyewitness testimony alone, just a lot that. Jenna Ellis, a former Donald Trump attorney, his attorney, on Friday, tweeted about Carrie Lake's contested lawsuit. She hasn't and won't win any of her lawsuits. It's just fundraising at this point, she says. Okay, scroll on down. Can I tell you why? Because the judges are afraid. Judges, scroll down, Spencer. Judges cannot rule an election right there, integrity, when it helps recover. Gideon, shine light, make noise. Judges cannot rule in favor of election integrity when it helps Republicans because they're terrified of what the left will do and, in fact, their careers will be ruined. The type of person who becomes a judge is someone who isn't looking for the spotlight. Most judges do their go their entire career with very few headlines about them. If you look their names up on the internet, you can rarely find any of them. They have relatively quiet, peaceful lives outside the public eye. And they live well with generous salaries. Arizona Supreme Court justices make $159,000. Supreme Court judges, $268,000. Many judges got their positions due to the establishment. And in order to keep those positions, they're beholden to the establishment. While the U.S. Supreme Court justices are mostly immune from this, there are other reasons that they deter them. If the rule for Republicans on voter disenfranchisement, that is all they will be known about that judge for the rest of his life. That judge will be called somebody who supported election deniers and conspiracy theorists. Their speaking engagements and book deals will dry up. A search for their names on the internet, thanks to left-wing Google and big tech biases, will turn up nothing but hateful articles about, are you with, I'm not gonna go on, okay? This is why we're not getting justice. Why? Are they scared of us? Are they scared of us? Judges? Are the judges scared of the Christians? That's all you need to know. It's a hot potato. They don't want to be the one to rule it. Supreme Court could have the Supreme Court 2 years ago could have taken over this election case and they didn't do it. And it's all spelled out right there. What did they say? No standing. States didn't have any standing. When that was the exact purpose of the Supreme Court for arguments between states. I think it was Kentucky said, hey, we're fine with the Supreme Court because the election screwed our people here. And the Supreme Court's job is to rule on whether or not the people of Kentucky were screwed by the election, whether the people of Kentucky got Joe Biden as president when that wasn't, you with me? That's the Supreme Court's job. But they can't do it because how about this? Every time you hear Clarence Thomas, Reagan appointed, every time you hear John Roberts, George Bush appointed, Donald Trump appointed, right? I could go on. Hey, good news. We're winning. Charles Schumer should be in jail. They should have frog marched him right out of there that day and locked him up for a lot, violating the right for us to be able to hear what we want to hear. Okay, hang on. I see it's, give me three more minutes. Pull up Tucker Carlson and just play just the first couple minutes. Hey, look, good guy, bad guy. I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know. I know Fox is bad. And I know Fox has given him a position. And I'm certain that he doesn't say anything without the approval of those at the top of Fox. So I don't know what's going on. I'm not here to defend Tucker. Moving forward to about the 30-second mark. We're not going to watch much of it. It's 26 minutes right there. Hey, Spencer, do me a favor. Put that thing at about 1.5 real quickly. I know this isn't very spiritual. The Lord loves justice and judgment. The Lord loves justice and judgment. We have an injustice system. This is scripture. Go ahead.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Last night we aired video from surveillance cameras on Capitol Hill. That video was recorded 26 months to the day before, January 6, 2021.
2 years ago!
26 months, that footage was held from the American public. The January 6th committee made certain. Now, the Justice Department also kept a lid on that video footage. And in fact, in some cases, DOJ did not share it with criminal defendants who'd been charged on January 6th in violation of their constitutional rights. So we felt it was a public service to bring what we could to you. There was no justification for keeping the secret any longer, and a powerful argument to be made that sunlight is always and everywhere the best disinfectant. And in fact, because it was video evidence, it is to some extent self-explanatory. Anyone could look at the tape and decide what he or she thinks of it. So the tape we showed last night indicated very clearly that Capitol Hill police, in some cases, escorted protesters through the Capitol as if they were giving a tour. They did that with Jacob Chansley.
Folks, that's exculpatory evidence. Was it brought up at his trial? No. Did the government know they had it? Yeah, oh yeah, they knew they had it. Go ahead.
So-called QAnon shaman. At one point, they even tried to open locked doors on Chansley's behalf. Chansley was sentenced to 4 years in prison for his crimes in the Capitol on January 6th. And the video we showed you last night raises the obvious question, why? On what grounds? The video I showed you last night also showed that Officer Brian Sicknick was not beaten to death with a fire extinguisher by protesters on January 6th, as the media and Liz Cheney so often claimed. The video shows Sicknick walking around the building, apparently in good health, after he was supposedly
killed. Liz Cheney ought to be in jail.
We showed you that video. You can make of it what you will. We also showed you video that proves Ray Epps, the mysterious protester who encouraged others to breach the Capitol, lied to the January 6th committee about where he was on that day. But for some reason, the committee protected him anyway. He was not considered an insurrectionist. He was their ally. So once again, you can draw whatever conclusions you like from that video. We have ours and we share them with you. But it's really beyond debate that it is good for this country for Americans to be able to see it. The media and politicians, the people in charge, have talked about January 6th every day since it happened for 26 months. And so at some point, the evidence should be presented to the public. In free countries, governments do not lie about protests as a pretext to gain more power for themselves. They don't selectively edit videos for propaganda services and then lie about them in fake hearings and show trials. But that's exactly what happened. And every member of Congress should ask why that happened. But Democrats in the Senate, the Democratic leader in the Senate,
stop that.
Chuck Schumer, is not.
Hey, folks. The Republicans are strangely silent, aren't they, folks? Gideon's army, man. Shine light and make noise. Can I tell you this? This ain't gone back in the bottle. This ain't gone back in the bottle. 26 months, 2 years, Craig, the number man. Hell yeah. 26 is the number. I missed what that was, Craig. Let me go back there. Craig weighs in. 26 months is 2 years and 2 months. 1621, 3623. 26 is the number of God in Hebrew letters. Just saying. Huh? Huh? Oh my God. Folks, look. This has been a slow slog. Many of you, I want to encourage you. Many of you had stood strong against family opposition, church opposition, friends. Folks, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. It is all coming out. Now, here's what's going to be really good for us. This is
amen.
Boy, this is a download from the Holy Spirit, man. Boy, Randy, I'm feeling you, man. I'm feeling you right now. See, the Lord is doing the dividing for us. The Lord is using the circumstances, letting all this happen so we can see the frauds, who the frauds really are. It's Gideon's army at its finest. The Lord's finding those who lap like that. He's finding those for us. And he's finding those who are like that. And I'm going to tell you something. The ones who lap the water without taking a, the Lord's going to raise up more of those. He's going to raise up more of them. Yeah. Think of the media and the number of liars in the media. In the media. No wonder there's crap in their pants, right? No wonder. Why? Shine a light, make a noise. They're going to turn on themselves. We're going to begin to see some high-level guys take plea bargains. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Who's going to prosecute him? Who's going to prosecute him? Ain't going to be those judges. No, because why? Because they're going to send Antifa to the judge's house, right? Huh? They're going to send Antifa to the judge's house. And the judge's going to make sure he ain't sticking his neck out there, especially when the Republicans are on the same team. So I don't have Tucker Carlson figured out. I don't trust him. I said that the other day. Something's going on here. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. I wish I knew what it was. I don't know what it is. But something's going on. Kevin, come on in. And I want Randy second. I want Randy because I'm say something to Randy while I'm thinking of. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, Dave, I was gonna differ with you until you brought up the judges, okay? Because that's where I put the onus. Because the truth is that some of the attorneys have tried to enter exculpatory evidence and the judges would not allow it to be heard in court. Right. And that puts the onus on them. If anybody needs to be arrested, disbarred, and pulled off the bench, it's those damn federal judges in D.C.
who are political appointees. That's all they are. Political hacks. All they are. Amen. Randy, that, by the way, I don't know if you picked up on it. That's the point I'm making. What was the first thing I said? The wrong guys are in jail. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, if we will just stay the course, Coach, this we will see so much change, so much justice. But, Coach, this is what I had to this was so hard. This is so hard on our soul because we want everything now. We've been used to that our whole life. But Coach, God had to bring the Republicans in, the Democrats. He had to show everybody they're all compromised. He had to get the conservative movement. You've said it for years, Coach, and what you're saying is coming to fruition because it was the truth. And this is what we have to be willing right now, Coach, to say, okay, I endorse this guy. He was an infiltrator. I was wrong. We all have done that. And we all have to do that when it plays out. We don't know which 300 God's using, but we know he's doing something with men, and he's changing this, Coach. So you're right. You are so on this. We are so winning, Coach.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. The rats are going to be forced to leave the ship, boys. You can't hide this. Now, that's provided Tucker Carlson survives, right? By the way, has Sean Hannity picked it up yet? But Sean Hannity? You know, Sean Hannity was the first one, one of the first ones to turn on Donald Trump, you know. Quit talking about the elections, Sean Hannity. Did I make this prediction yesterday? I'm going to make it now. I did, I think, yesterday. Kerry Lake will be Donald Trump's running mate. Come on in, Dale. Yes, judges, attorneys, senators, House of Representatives all need to be charged. They all need to be charged.
Coach, this is so spiritual, right? When the word says, and you said it, I was going to repeat it, everything hidden. I mean, I'm telling you, brother, these things we could not have undone. But God is doing this because he is eliminating every single excuse. And it's not just
he's
here in America.
He's giving them a little bit of rope, Dale. He's just keeps giving them a little bit more rope.
Well, brother, it is this. It is exactly that. He is separating the goat and the sheep, the wheat and the tare. All of those things are being done. I'll say about this Tucker Carlson thing. I met Tucker even before he was anything of a peon at Bill Shanks's house. Now, Fox News, Paul Ryan, right? He didn't want to show that. But I tell you what, if they lose Tucker Carlson, Fox News is gone. It is gone. He is carrying that. And so they have no choice but to. Or the other thing is that we see the manipulation is they want chaos.
Dale, we didn't finish Chuck Schumer's rant, but I don't know if you guys know this. He called on Rupert Murdoch.
Yep.
Owns Fox News.
Yep.
To not allow Tucker on the air.
Yep, Whoa. Exactly.
Come on, man. Yep. Can't you see it?
Yep.
Can't you see what's going
this
on?
This is a glorious time for the Church of Jesus Christ of Saints. And how did they win? They showed up with their lights and they made noise, brother. That's Amen. What happened.
Shine
light. Amen.
Amen. This is so good. Dr. Paul, come on in.
In that same line of thought, Coach, I don't know if you heard about our good heroic Dr. Malone, the actual inventor of the ultimate bioweapon. He was the hero. Well, they found out recently that he wasn't the hero. This insider was made the hero. It's a big bait and switch. I never trusted that SOB, and it's finally coming out. Don't trust these folks, guys. Do not trust them.
Folks, listen. Look, are you looking at me? Honest people don't make it to the top. I'm going to say it again. Honest people don't make it to the top. Myra, then Jeff.
Yes, Coach. Thank you. Brother Martin mentioned this morning, pre-show, Lamentations 3:22-23, which goes very well with what you're saying, that we're winning. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Also, Tracy Foraker texts me a Bible verse very appropriate for what we're talking. Luke 12:3, therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And that goes with what I read this morning in pre-show 12:37. Hallelujah.
Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. I will repay. We're going to see it. We're going to see the vengeance of the Lord. We're going to see it, folks. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if your theology takes you a different direction. We're going to see some of them hang. We're going to see it. It's going to take a while. Jeff, go ahead.
Coach, you keep saying it. We're winning. You know, sometimes it seems like forever. I don't know, 18, 19 months we've been doing them school board meetings here locally. And you get 3 minutes each month. It just seems like it's dragging on and dragging on. But now we're going again tomorrow night. These dogs shine that light, make some noise. And now we know when they're requesting that any outsiders not speak. And now, like Pastor Bill says, we're over the target.
That's right.
So I think that's the request. And we're going tomorrow night to East Knox, shine a light and make some noise.
So here's what we got to do, folks. We have to have a better strategy. Cause one of the things I said, Pastor Bill said last night, which I thought was really, really good, is strategies win, not weapons, right? And Amen. So if we look what the devil does, see, folks, look, come on, this is so good. We have to divide and conquer. We have to go to the school boards and divide the school board. We've got to put the onus on there's a good guy there, and we got to put the onus on the ones who are in the machine. We got to call them out. We got to call Amen. Them out. We have to do a divide and conquer publicly, right? Because as it is, they're able to hide and be silent and then go behind back closed doors and make compromises, right? No, you have to expose it. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And we have got to pit school board member against school board member. Somebody say amen. Somebody out there say amen.
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 We have to specifically amen. Point out publicly, this is where you stand. I know you, whoever you are, school board member, I know you. I know where you stand. You stand for Christianity, don't you, brother? You do, don't you? What about you, Sarah, Sherry? You stand for it publicly. Do you think we should be teaching you think we should be cutting off little penises? Do you think we should do that, Sherry? What do you think, Sherry? They will crap their pants. It's the only way we win, divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. And remember this, when you go to the school board, you got 3 minutes. It's called public comment. You're not addressing the board. You are making a public comment. When you go, don't speak to the board, speak to the public. Then they can't control you, right? Oh, this is, God, I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones. We're winning. Go, Clay.
We shouldn't expect to be thanked for any of it. I can tell you that. When we got back from January 6th, I couldn't no more than take my boots off and get in the house before had family members, you know, wanting to know why we had went and done such a despicable thing. And so far, the phone hadn't rang from any of these people that we've distanced ourselves from since then.
Well, saying Clay, it's because Chuck Schumer just said we saw it with our own eyes. We saw it with our own eyes, Clay. Now, this stuff that you're seeing with your own eyes, you're not seeing that with your own eyes, right? You're not really seeing that. This is fake. That other stuff that we played for 2 years, well, you're seeing it with your own eyes. You get the game, folks. You get the
game. Right.
Hang on. What's the devil's techniques? He only has three. What is it? Anybody out there, can they repeat them? Huh?
Deceiving.
Lies. And more lies.
Lie, deception, and fear. That's it. That's all they got, man. They just keep shooting it in different forms. That's all they do. Go ahead, Jack, then Laura.
This is the essence of your show, Coach, for the last 5 years.
It is.
Learn truth, speak truth, make noise. Blessed are the noisemakers. Blessed are the noisemakers because they're winning. We are winning, and you can't stop. And you gotta change that. You gotta add a word to your phrase. Your honest people don't rise to the top anymore. We can change that.
We can't. We have to change it. We have to change it. And for all the naysayers out there, the FBI and people laying in the bushes. What show is this one? 1842. And under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I haven't missed it very much. I haven't had to go back and retract a whole lot. I'm not bragging. I'm not bragging. Truth sets you free. And you know that the stuff that we've been saying here for 1,842 shows has been the truth. And we're going to be proven that we spoke the truth. Go ahead, Laura.
Boom.
The Lord gave me Micah 6:8-9. He has shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And verse 9 is, the Lord's voice cries to the city, wisdom shall see your name, hear the rod, who has appointed it.
Hear ye the rod. That's judgment.
Amen.
The rod's judgment. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. They're going to see the Lord, and they're going to hear his rod. Oh, yeah. They're going. That's a great scripture. Jock, come on in, then Randy. You got 7 minutes here.
The tighter their evil grip, the more of God's righteousness will slip through their fingers. I'm thinking of the movie Star Wars right now, when Princess Leia faces Darth Vader, and they're doing everything they can to conquer the light. But they can't do it.
They can't conquer it. Hey, can you imagine? I'm going to tell you something. There's a great awakening coming to Christians. Hang on. Not the church. This thing, this edifice we call it, it's Ichabod. Ichabod over the door of most churches. Now, I talked about that the other day. Spencer, pull that up there if you could for me. Ichabod. I think it's I-C-H-A-B-O-D, Ichabod. What's it mean, Ichabod? I don't know if you'll find it in Webster or not. We'll see. Just type in Ichabod. See what it tells us. What's the secular world say? Definition. A refreshingly cheerful, used to express regret for departed glory. Ichabod. The Lord, where is that? Where is that in the scripture? The Lord wrote Ichabod over the door. Where is that? Somebody dig that up for me real quick.
1 Samuel 4.
That's what, hey folks, that's over the door of most churches. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from the church.
Amen.
Because the ark of God was taken because of her father-in-law and her husband. The glory has departed. You know what I say? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord is going to reveal that glory outside.
Amen.
Outside of that cold, dead, liturgical, nothing thing we call the church. All great things are coming, man. Great things are coming.
Amen.
Whose turn is it, Jack or Randy? Jack, go Jack, then Randy.
Yeah, you didn't learn strategy, Coach, by just sitting around watching the news. You learn strategy by watching videos and thinking and deliberating and watching more videos and playing the game, actually being engaged. That's what we're missing. We're not engaged. You got to learn strategy. It's not automatic. Strategy is the key.
You know, I had to learn strategy because if I kept getting my ass beat, I was going to lose my job.
Yeah, exactly. We're all getting our butts beat because we don't know the strategy. We go off half-cocked and don't know what the heck we're doing because we don't know God's law, really. That's what you've been teaching us for the last 5 years. And we don't know the law of the land. We don't know the law of our state. We don't even know the law of our blooming town.
No, we don't. We don't. We don't. No. Hey, Chuck Schumer's told us. We saw it with our own eyes. We saw it with our own eyes, right? Yeah, we did. You ought to be hung. You ought to be publicly hung. FBI, if you're doing your job, Charles Schumer should be hung. Randy.
Coach, I love following up Jack. He always brings really good stuff, Jack. Appreciate you, brother. But the coach, the strategy, here's what Jack said in biblical speaking. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, the spiritual man judges all things. That means to scrutinize. He scrutinizes. He finds the truth. The natural man, Coach, he can't get to the truth.
You've got to be freaky.
He can't get to the truth. So, Coach, well, I'm going to say this, and I'll be done. What God is doing, he's changing something. This is a paradigm change. He's going to show us our future is not a political. It's going to be prophetic by his word. It's people is going to follow his word. They're going to follow the truth. And that is why Jesus will be king again in our nation.
So, Randy, so God is taking the mantle. He's written Ichabod over the door of the church, and he's taken that mantle, and he's put that thing on his remnant people. That's what's going on.
Amen.
And it's going to take us a while to understand that thing that you guys go to on Sunday or Saturday, whatever day it is, you go to Ichabod. That's not the spirit of God in your church. Sorry. No, there's a people pleasing spirit in your church. There's not a spirit of justice and judgment in your church. Look out on the sign, huh? All welcome, all welcome. Can I tell you something? Not everybody was welcome on my football team. Oh no. I didn't let everybody in that huddle, in that locker room. They're not all welcome. Sorry, wrong gospel. John Collison, go.
Coach, you said something the other day, and when you said it, I thought, I bet they have shaved Tucker Carlson's numbers. You know how they do it in their little programs and software. Well, we were thinking 500,000. Chuck Schumer just admitted Tucker Carlson's got millions and millions of viewers. That's why he's still on there.
Hey, it's all about money, right? I don't trust Tucker, okay? I don't trust him. The rats are running off the ship. Quickly, Jeff.
Coach, you talked about public comment. Every month for 18 months, I've turned around and addressed that crowd of people every month. And as soon as you do it for the first time, the superintendent drops the hammer on you. And that's what we were talking about with Tom last night. I've done it and done it and done it, and they never say nothing. So yesterday I had a guy on my car lot, supposedly a churchgoer, wants me to detail his truck. He's going on about the superintendent. Oh, he's a good Christian man. I said, no, hold up, buddy.
He's sitting
the fence. Well, he said he stuck up for Pastor Matt. I said, oh, he stuck up for him, but he also threw him under the bus. In one interview on Channel 10, he'd done that. I said, buddy, I don't trust him. I said, he still hasn't met with me the second time, so we're going to go in and blast him, buddy. But they just like to sit the fence.
The devil owns the fence.
Devil owns the fence. Huh? Huh? Yeah. Hey, the wrong people are in jail. We'll see you tomorrow.